Ciao ragazzi, my name is Anthony. Ole, 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 ole. Inter, Inter. It's fantastic to be here with my brother. We don't get to link up very often anymore, but when we do, we really make it count. Uncle Sharma, welcome back to Inter Worldwide. You look like a champion. I can smell you from here. You smell like a champion. You're just oozing champion sauce, bro.
Yeah, we're oozing that champion riz, as the youngsters say these days. We've got that champion riz. Nah, it's amazing to be on, man. I'm glad that we were able to link up before I go on holiday because, yeah, it's reminiscing. I was thinking about it the other day because my channel hit 8K subscribers.
Big up, bro.
And then I looked. Thank you. And I looked that I've made over 822 videos, and that's not including the ones that I had to delete for, like, getting copyright strikes and that kind of stuff. So I was thinking if you should add up the videos you made on this channel plus the videos you made on your old channel, and that, like, just show people the amount of work that we've put in over the years to cover Inter. Since, as you said, we've been covering it, you know, on and off pretty much since the Spalletti era. And yeah, it just feels amazing to celebrate it with you because we're like, we've been on this like content creation journey that I'm surprised no one else has kind of like come in and challenged us really, because it's just like there's no young kid out there that wants to like do this. I'm just surprised. But anyway, I've started going on off a tangent. I'm just happy to be here, bro. Like, it's amazing to be linking up, not in COVID times, not like the quarantine era, properly, yeah. Celebrated properly and celebrate it over a few weeks, not for 2 days.
That's it, man. Well said. I'm sure there are a couple of other peoples that thought about dancing into it, but, you know, as the old saying in our club goes, this is not an easy love that we've chosen. I reckon so many people have been maybe one or two games away over the years from starting something special, and then something has just happened, or they've been very close to starting something and something has happened in the Inter world, and they're like, no, I can't do this. Can't do this. But that's what made this even more special. Conte's one was a formality. It was automated. It had to happen. But this was the blood, the sweat, the tears, the, you know, the earning it from the ground back up. And I can't wait to look at these fixtures with you. So let's just go and see if there's anyone in the house. We've got 17 people with us right now. Thank you to channel members Gio, who will watch it back. Thank you, Jean. Massimo is here as well. Thank you, Zeal, for taking over the chat here as well. And Debbie Kerr, Edson, Indro in the house as well. M6, Adam, good to see all of you guys. With the time that we've got here today, I just wanted to focus on Serie A and really talk about what an amazing season it was. A few blips along the way, but in reality, I really mean a few, bro, when I say a few. I don't mean it figuratively. I mean it literally. We've had like three blips in the season so far, man. So if we start from the top, formalities on match day one. You love the early goal. Martinez puts his foot down nice and early. Maybe we'll go column for column, four games by four games. We back it up, 2-0. Denzel Dumfries has the ball a little longer than I wanted him to have it at that period of time. I remember him getting the ball. I'm like, what's he going to do with it? What's this guy? Oh, what is this bum doing with the... Oh, damn, there he goes. Denzel Dumfries giveth, and he's given it again. He's given it again. And there was a few moments like that this season from Denzel. Marcus Thuram comes to light in his game against Fiorentina by getting on the score sheet. Once again, Martinez, absolutely lethal. That's 5 goals in 3 starts for him. And Hakan's first of many perfect penalties. And then something happens. Then we put in a performance in the derby where even reserved pessimistic fans like me are looking at that going, yeah, all right, only a very serious team with very serious aspirations does something like that. Zeal, what are you saying with our start to the season? Because it is inch perfect.
So good. So good. Because, yeah, I remember I was away in my first game. I was away on the honeymoon, so I didn't watch that one. And I saw the highlights. I was like, wow, we are cooking. And then, yeah, back to back, or 3 clean sheets in a row. I think that was the big thing for us from since last year. Like, we conceded way too many goals last year. So you already saw, like, the ship was being tightened already at the beginning of the season, which was why I was, like, starting to be a lot more confident this year. And then, yeah, Lautaro just started on a different level. Like, he was just on something. I don't know if it was that post-World Cup kind of redemption that he wanted to go on, or the disappointment from last season, the Champions League final. But, yeah, I mean, the guys have still spoken about it, haven't they? The few interviews, they've all spoken about, like, they're using that Champions League final loss as fuel for this season, and you could see it. It was just amazing. You can see also, yeah, the goal scorers. It's nice to see like Thuram coming in and Frattesi coming in the Milan derby. And I think it was the other day, yesterday or the other day, I did a stream on my channel and a few of the people mentioned, like, even though it's so early on in the season, some people still think that 5-1 win is like the highlight of the season, because I can think it set the tone for the rest of the season, didn't it?
It scared them shitless, bro. Yeah. There was no way they were getting back into whatever they thought rivalry had existed. Reality was, before the 5-1, I think we were already on a four-game winning streak anyway in the derby.
It set the season up for us, but also ruined their season.
Absolutely, man. I think it shook them really nice and hard to the core. They still had, you know, made some decent runs throughout the season, but no one could really put together that patch of consistency that we were able to put together this season, albeit Juve maybe did it once, but once they fell off that ledge, they never even came close to getting back up again. We go on to match day 5, 6, 7, and 8. Dodgy win away to Empoli. Di Marco scored an absolute screamer, one that I thought he wouldn't be able to upstage, but then he does end up upstaging it later on. Then our first pretty much only three speed bumps throughout the entire season, or three relevant speed bumps, I think, throughout the entire season. And it all happened in the blink of an eye, man, in the space of 8 minutes. Bayrami and Berardi, bang, bang, to cancel out Denzel Dumfries. And there you go, man. There's our first blip. Then we back it up.
This also shows Denzel's a good form at the beginning of the season, doesn't it?
Definitely. He was in real good form. Great time to grab a goal as well. I remember that goal just before halftime. We back it up with Lautaro Martinez's favorite training team to play against 4-0 Salernitana. And then a game that did actually piss me off, because we really did well to open up this game. 2-0 inside 13 minutes. Martinez gives away what looks to be a silly penalty at the time. And then Xerxes nets in at the 52nd. We all know that Bologna are looking good at this point of the season, but still no one can really be prepared for what was to follow on. So in hindsight now, knowing what we know at the end of the season about Thiago Motta's Champions League-bound Bologna, that's not too bad of a drop point, albeit it is at home. What are you saying as we update match day 8?
Yeah. Salernitana, I mean, rest in peace to them. They've officially got relegated last night. So, Lautaro's going to have to find a new team to bully. Because you can see in the screenshot, it doesn't even fit his fourth goal. You can only see the three goals. But I'm going to miss Salernitana. I hope, we were talking backstage, I hope someone picks up Candreva. Boulay Dia, I wouldn't mind picking up for Inter, to be honest. He's an interesting potential backup. But yeah, that Sassuolo loss is just so annoying there. It's just that red, the one red that we have from the season in Serie A. Like, it's just, and, when we get into the fixtures later, I'm just looking forward to just, potentially reconfirm their relegation just for that.
Yeah, pretty much. It's very Inter-like to still cop the loss to a relegation side in the year that you're champions. And looking back on it now, we should have absolutely buried this game very, very quickly. But like many stages this season, with one little drop of adversity comes an absolute chasm, a waterfall of, I'm not even going to call it redemption. Redemption from what? To say it was redemption, to say that we had to come back from something. This team was up and away and never came down. Look at this. 3-0 to Torino. I was on my Bucks / Stag Do, whatever you call it. And I was nervous about this because I knew I'd be awake all night waiting for this game. And we put together a very, very good second half.
Turam being got a Urich team away 3-0. That's massive.
Yeah, exactly. It was the worst 45 minutes I had seen by us that season up until that point. The first half, it was really, really bad, man. Really stale. And then it was too easy after that, bro, after Turam's goal. Another goal. I think Dumfries provided the assist for that one as well. So another involvement from Denzel. Then a tough game for Roma. Turam on the score sheet once again. And this is pretty much where Turam's earned his stripes already this season. Another free transfer, another masterstroke from Beppe Marotta. And hey, man, it's a win-win situation. It's a stay on and we stay with the most lethal attack duo in Serie A. Or someone comes with a bag that's even too ridiculous for someone like Marcus Turam. And we regroup and go again. Because for those figures, things can happen. So that's match day six wrapped up. Atalanta 1-2. We grab the lead through Çalhanoğlu. Another great penalty. Martinez doubles it. Scamacca gets on the score sheet, and then it's a little bit of a rough end with Toloi receiving a red card. However, we prevail in another tough fixture, which makes Frosinone a borderline formality at that point. Was Frosinone Di Marco's ridiculous goal?
Yeah, that's the halfway line goal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the halfway line goal there. So that's pretty much match day 12 up until that point, and now we're really looking good, bro. We're primed. We're primed to kick on, to finish the year strong.
Yeah. And again, you see there, like, the amount of goals or lack of goals conceded, just the one against Atalanta. That's just what's striking me, just complete solidity at the back. And, yeah, you can see Martinez just on the scoreline every time almost. And Di Marco as well, like, you see, yeah, you saw his goal in the previous slide. You saw another goal here. Like, contributions coming from everywhere. Hakan contributing. I mean, how nice has it been, Hakan being that? There's not that, I think that's also Inzaghi's done some growing, you know. In the first couple of seasons, he was like, yeah, you know, the players decide on the field who's the penalty taker. But now finally it's like, no, Hakan is the number one penalty taker. And Hakan as well, he's not like done the thing of like, oh, Lauti, are you feeling like taking it? Yeah, you can take it. No, it's like, I'm the penalty taker. I'm taking it. And 100% conversion rate. You know, that was the one thing. You know, we all dislike Lukaku, but that was the one thing that he gave me, that confidence that when we had a penalty, we knew that he was going to come and score it. And then Hakan's even more, because Hakan's like even more ice cool than Lukaku is. And it's just, oh, it's just, yeah, a guaranteed goal when we get a penalty and Hakan's on the pitch.
Yeah, well, that's 5 out of 5 at that point after match day 12. And at this point, Inter's taken first spot. Yeah, it's taken first spot in the Marotta League, and we're not going to let it go again, not with the equal amount of games played, that's for sure. Then another very impressive result comes to back up, you know, the 4-0 impressive result to, was it 4-0 on match day that we looked at against? Yeah, Fiorentina, yep. The Milan result, the Roma grind, and the Atalanta away trip. It can only get better. It can only get better. We go to the reigning champions, and we absolutely spank their ass. That goal that Barella scored, that team effort where Barella runs in at the end to grab it and score it. You remember that goal? That was a sexy goal, bro. That was just, God, that was a good game. Let's talk about, I'm going to go over to you for that game before we even go on to the rest of them. That was a really good game to assert our dominance.
Yeah. And that Hakan goal, that's, I know Di Marco one is probably going to be like goal of the season, but for me personally, that Hakan one, I guess Napoli is my favorite, because the way he hits is so particularly pleasing. It's like that Thiago Alcantara goal that he scored Liverpool against Porto, and he just cuts it so hard, it doesn't even touch the ground. It, like, the ball goes, it's like, it was almost like a cartoon, it doesn't touch the ground and it goes upwards. Such a good goal. And at that time as well, like, with Hakan, even though it was kind of early on in the season, I was already saying like he's the best midfielder in Serie A this year. Like, you could just see that growth with him was there. And then Barella, we were like, he was having a little bit of that off season, and there was that revelation, I don't know if it was, I think it was just before the Napoli game, that came out that, you know, him and his partner have been going through some, you know, rough times personally. There was that report that maybe they lost a child or twins even, right? Maybe. So that kind of put it into perspective of, you know, let's chill out on Barella. Like, you know, these guys go through things that we don't know about. And then that game, you know, returned to become Barella again. So I think that was probably, that game was probably the one of the first games where I've like started thinking we're the real deal. Yes, Napoli are not, you know, anywhere near as good as they were last year, but it's still a big statement to go away, because even historically we suck away at the Maradona. So that was a big, big statement to do that.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Barella, because after this game here, I didn't see him really dip in form again this season. He went right back to the Barella that we know well, and he was just everywhere, pretty much every single game. Then we smack Udinese, Hakan with another brilliant penalty. Di Marco always involved, Thuram on the score sheet, and Martinez ices the cake as well. And then another impressive victory. I knew that Sarri's Lazio were, you know, on ice at this point. They were pretty unhealthy. And we did what a big team was meant to do this season, Zio. We capitalized on our rivals'
not necessarily being their 100% healthy state, but that doesn't really mean anything when it comes down to these results. But unless you make it significantly known that you're better and we're coming here to win. And that's what we did to Roma, Atalanta, Milan, Napoli. And that's what we did again to Lazio, man. Lazzari gets a red card at the end of the game. It's smooth sailing. And then I think this is the result here just after the Bologna exit to the Coppa Italia, because this result was on my honeymoon. It was the birth of Bisek, man. Bisek and Power was born on this day. And Marko Arnautović had an absolute stinker trying to score, but then he provided a world-class assist.
Oh, yeah.
To put it in there. And that was really, really nice. You could see his satisfaction as he basically like gets on the floor and he's like, oh, man, I'm halfway.
Yeah, he was like
halfway
a
to heaven
game.
Only.
Yeah, yeah, all the players are like running to him like, oh, yeah, well done.
What do you say?
They all run to Barella. They all run to him.
Yeah. What are you saying at this point, bro? It's looking really good at this point. I know you were very happy to see Bisek play in that role and do well as well.
Yeah. Like, I think with Bisek as well, like, I have to give, I guess in terms, like, then we also had injuries and stuff, but I have to give Inzaghi credit because I wasn't expecting him. He's not even young because he's 23, but in Italy, that's still a young player. But I wasn't expecting him to get that much, many minutes. And then Inzaghi actually has given him a pretty decent rotation, more than I was expecting, like Bellanova minutes, but he actually got more than Bellanova. So I was happy to see that. And then also, yeah, you mentioned Arnautović. It was also, I was backing Arnautović since the start of the season, not in terms of like, I would have made other signings, but I thought this guy can contribute well. So I thought this Lecce assist was like, okay, even our backups now, because you see, until now, not Sanchez or Arnautović are on the score sheets until now. So I thought, maybe this is the turning point where also we're not just having to rely on Martinez and Thuram. It did happen for a little while with Arna, like we'll see later. But yeah, it was a bit of a false. What's the word I'm looking for, Anthony?
False dawn.
That's the one. And then Lazio. That game, I didn't think we even played that well. The first goal, if you remember, it was a mistake. Someone, I think it was Marusic, passed it back or tried to pass it back to the goalkeeper. And then Lautaro just,
he does
what he does. So some of these games, like, yeah, we weren't playing like Limone ball or anything particularly amazing, but we were just getting the job done.
I remember we were missing Martinez for that Lecce game and the game afterwards as well, because he did go down, I think, in extra time of the game, win the game against Bologna, and I was starting to lose my marbles a little bit and thought, oh dear, what have we done here? Have we done something bad here? But I think Pavard was injured at the time as well, and that's Indra coming in appropriately at the time. Pavard injury is a blessing in disguise for Bisek. Fair play to him. He took his chance. Absolutely, bro. Well said. Let's move on to what in my head is match day 17, if I'm doing 4x4 tables here. Bit of a slip here. Dragujan getting one right on the strike of halftime. And Arnautović, perfect time to grab his goal after the assist. I was thinking if we grabbed away points here, things were looking really, really, really good. But this is a point where I thought if we're going to stutter, we're going to stutter soon after this result. I was starting to get a little bit worried, not necessarily about us. There was a very, very, very annoying pest. Not even a pest. That's too nice of a word. There was a tumor on our shoulder, and it wasn't going away. It was 1-0-ing its way up our ass every step of the way, bro, and it wasn't going away. And this result sort of made it a little bit nervous, bro. But then after that comes the greatest, well, for me personally, I mean, I think we've probably seen better ones statistically, but for me, the best Serie A run I've ever seen Inter go on. Well, most enjoyable for me to see, because it had everything, bro. It had smash-ups. It had comebacks. It had the most Pazza Inter of Pazza Inter. It had good luck. It had missed penalties for opposition. It had everything. Starting with Verona 2-1. Almost like the first game of the rest of the season. The first game of the Scudetto charge. Because the split second that Fratesi puts that ball in, you really think that, wow, we've done a madness here. We've stolen one where we probably shouldn't have stolen one. We were awful on this day. It was one of those early kickoffs in Sydney. I was watching it with my wife. It was absolutely horrible. And then that penalty and the missed penalty and the red card. Unbelievable, bro. That was a mad game. Let's talk about that game before we go on, bro.
Yeah, same as you. Like that game, we were going somewhere. It was like a family thing, and I was like getting dressed up, like suited and booted.
I think I remember your match reaction. That's right. It was epic.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm coming in and out of the room, and I'm like trying to put my tie on, and I'm like, we've conceded. And then I thought the game is done, and I get a notification on my phone that we conceded a penalty. So then I like tried to get my laptop on again. I'm like, I want to see this. And then, that is Pazza Inter. That game is the definition of Pazza Inter. So we needed at least one of those games. We couldn't beat Inter and win a Scudetto without a game like that. And I think that was the game, personally, where I started really believing, like, not because of the performance or anything, just because, you know, when things start going your way, like, you just feel like the wind is behind you. Like, you know, when Milan won the Scudetto a couple years back, there was a few games, like I think it was like a Sampdoria away Milan. I was watching them and I'm like, I think we were still ahead of them at that time. But I was just like, these guys are so lucky. Like these guys are going to win the Scudetto. And I'm betting like there was rival fans watching us the Hellas-Verona game and thinking the same. Like these guys, they've got the Lord is with them this year. So nothing can stop us. And that was the game, I think, that I went pretty much all in. I'm like, yeah, we're going to win that Scudetto. And then afterwards, as you said, the run after was just, no one can touch us. And of course, the Juve. Did we miss a Juve game in between? Didn't we draw the first Juve game?
Yeah, we did draw the first Juve game. I wonder why it's not in there. I was screenshotting them unless I accidentally skipped that one subconsciously because it must be the only one.
Yeah.
I hope we didn't miss any other games, though, in between that.
Well, I mean, we've got the one loss. That's
the only one. We've got the one loss and the one draw. So unless there's another win somewhere, which I don't think there was. Anyway, we smack up Monza the next week, which was absolutely beautiful. It was a really, really good performance from the boys. We started to turn on the Limoni ball again. Yeah. Then not such a great performance, but against the Fiorentina side, who were very hard to beat in Florence. But luck of champions once again. Well, not really luck of champions. Luck of Nico Gonzalez. My God, you won't see a worse penalty in Serie A in the next decade. That was slow. I blinked twice and it was still rolling to Sommer. It was really, really bad, man. Were you watching that game live by any chance?
Yeah. That was, again, not the greatest performance. And the last 20, 30 minutes, that was, just holding on for dear life. But you just reminded me that penalty was, it's one of that technique. When it goes well, it looks so good because he looks so ice cool. But when it goes bad like that and someone just reads you, you just look like an absolute idiot.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I guarantee that Jan Sommer's a very professional goalkeeper. I know he would have studied that. He would have studied those techniques. He would have studied him during the week and gone, this isn't going to be too hard if Nico Gonzalez steps up to the plate. And he made it look really, really easy. This was a game where I really did fear dropping points because I know Hakan took a yellow card. I'm pretty sure he took a booking on purpose. He didn't play in this game. I don't know why it's not screenshotted there. Or maybe it is. It's after the comma. I'm pretty sure Hakan took a yellow card in the Monza game to miss Fiorentina so that he would be available for Juve because he was on a yellow card.
Oh, yeah. I think he might be.
This is why the Fiorentina game was very grindy. We didn't have Hakan in midfield in this game. Unless I'm wrong. Kid, do you mind checking? See if did Hakan miss the Fiorentina game because he copped a yellow card in Monza?
Let's have a look. Because if we won that game with Aslani in midfield. Yeah, we did. You're right.
That's what I'm saying.
Aslani Frattesi, actually. So Barella wasn't there either.
Shit. So there was no Barella. Oh, yeah. But Martinez came back. No, he was back against Monza anyway.
Yeah. All so right, we won that game with Frattesi, Aslani, and Carlos Augusto, De Vrij. Like, so that was quite a rotated 11 we won that game with. So that makes it a bit more impressive.
Yeah, and that was the penalty shout that Ian Kerr saying the goal Sommer on the punch, the fly through, right?
Yeah, on Enzola.
On Enzola, correct. We got the 46 people that are with us now. That's a very nice crowd. Show some love for Uncle Sharma. Head over to the Uncle Sharma channel as well. And let's keep these two communities celebrating and partying, and let's let the rivals know that we aren't going away for a good calendar year. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Gets better after that, bro. Another great run of fixtures. The belief inside Anthony is growing. The pessimism is fading. Smiles are starting to appear on the channel.
Even Mattia starting to be positive.
Mattia and I are starting to link up extremely regularly, smiling. Things are getting way too weird because there's not too many bad things to say. And I think that all starts to really stem from a derby victory that could have been more, but who cares? As I say before games, you know, it can come off someone's ass and go in. This time it almost did. It came off Gatti and it went in 1-0 to us. And I still gave them credit after that game. I still thought, like, surely this won't completely shatter their spirit. There's a long time to go. Oh, but this shattered their spirit, bro. This shattered it. It stepped on it and it spat on it, man, because they didn't recover from this whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was just as you, like, mentally preparing for a long, drawn-out kind of title race where Juve just kind of hang on with their life with their dodgy last-minute wins and Gatti goals in the 98th minute. But yeah, funnily enough, it's Gatti that scored the own goal, the bricklayer. And yeah, as you said, they literally haven't recovered since 4th of February. That's when we played them. And then they went on one of the worst runs. I think it was statistically the worst run Juve have been on in their like last 20, 30 year history since that game. Allegri just being more and more negative records since that. So yeah, we broke Milan early on the season with the 5-1, and then we broke Juve with this 1-0 as well. So that's, yeah, like proper champions. We beat all the teams that we needed to beat on the way to winning this. No arguments.
Yeah, none whatsoever. I loved the 4-2 win against Roma. And I remember saying it in my match reaction. It's because it forced us to win in a way that we hadn't needed to win for ages. If you look back here, we've got our goal for Gatti. Martinez 14, Hakan 12, Martinez 13, Arnautovic 42. Going back further, Bisek 43, Martinez, Hakan. Where have we fallen behind, Zio, in the season? Where have we actually fallen behind?
I think it's
besides the Sassuolo loss, we haven't had to come from behind at all this season. That's a new day. That's a brand new day for Inter and a first for us on that season. And it was a really good game, bro, because Acerbi breaks a deadlock first and you're thinking, you know, here comes another example for the league to look at again. But I don't think, for some reason, something's telling me Mourinho wasn't on the touchline for this game. He always somehow...
No, it was De Rossi. It was De Rossi.
Oh, it was De Rossi. That's right. We inflicted De Rossi's first defeat, I think.
Yeah, because they were on like a nice little run. They were... even since then, they've been on a nice run. But we just, killed that.
Nice, nice. We go 2-1 down to Mancini and El Shaarawy. And as I said, it forces us to do something that we haven't really had to do this season. And that's come from behind and win. Yeah. And we did it in style.
I remember it was downpouring in the Olimpico as well in Rome. So it was like one of those, very like vintage, dirty kind of nice wins.
Yeah. Do you remember at the end, the ball that's played through? Alexis thinks it's going to him, but Bastoni's long legs just come out of nowhere and take it.
Yeah. I'm glad, Bastoni, he doesn't score that often, but he deserves a goal. I'm glad he got
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. And it is an example, bro. That is an example game. You go to the Olimpico in the pouring rain, go 2-1 down at halftime, come back to win the second half 3-0. That's another example, bro. Thank you very much to M6 Adam for becoming a Troubled Channel member. I really, really appreciate it, bro. Much love. Much love. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Welcome to the community. The next game is another routine game for the season. I didn't wake up for this one. I was at my mate's place sleeping on the couch and had a little bit to drink the night before. And I'm like, I'm not going to wake up for this. This should be okay. And it was more than okay. Another feeding frenzy for us against Salernitana. And then we back it up. And that's 12 goals in 3 games, bro. 4 against Roma, 4 against Salernitana, 4 against Lecce. Something's telling me the next game has 4 in it as well, but we'll cross that bridge in a second. But the derby, it's another 12 points out of 12. The game against Lecce, I was very impressed with, man, because that's when I was starting to sort of budget for dropped points, because I know Bologna's coming, Genoa's coming again, Atalanta's coming. There's some sticky fixtures still to come. Plus, we've got the Champions League in between there at this point. But we just kept rolling on, bro.
Yeah, same. I for some reason I vividly remember predicting a 2-2 in the Lecce game. So yeah, again, one of those games where even for me, where I edge slightly more towards positivity, even I was like kind of like, okay, yeah, this run's gonna come to an end at some point, you know, and this is probably the game where it's gonna be Lecce, yep, tough team away especially. But no, we just kept going, and this was Frattesi, one of his like most memorable performances, maybe his best one in the Inter shirt. I'll see once you scroll what other ones, but I remember Frattesi was a goal and an assist, really really good. And then yeah, Salernitana, just yeah, we're gonna miss them. We're gonna miss these guys.
Yeah, we are gonna miss them actually. Now I'm sad that I've done this stream. I'm like, well, RIP 6 competition points every season. Guaranteed sleep-ins there.
It's good to see the rye on the score sheet as well on the Lecce game. It's like nice to see the goal spread. You know, you still be second. We're just missing we're missing, Anthony. We're missing a Pavard goal. We need a Pavard goal before the end of the season.
Yeah, we're missing. I think there is another one or two players that we're missing, but I think Pavard's definitely the one that stands out. That's for sure. All right, going over. Yeah, that's right. There's another four. Well, Lecce, after the Lecce game. After the Lecce game, I remember thinking, Anthony, you have to go in with this with your chest now. Even if you don't, even if you've still got the PTSD, you can't shake the fact that your boys are cruising towards this title and you need to get behind it. The Atalanta game is where I really knew this is ours, bro. It has to be ours. And funny enough, when we beat Atalanta 1-0 under Conte with about nine match days left, I think that's when the team and a lot of the fans also felt it was done. There was a catalytic game against Atalanta where it was like our last tough fixture of the season. We come to this game and we smack Atalanta up again. Again, this is the game in hand as well, which has been postponed from the Super Cup, which was getting us really, really nervy for a while. Matty Darms, that's right, Matty Darms. If there was ever a player to start to keep the Scudetto train going, it is Matty Darms. Martinez with what I consider to be one of our goals. There's so many great goals we've scored this season. It's very hard to pin it. But when you look at that goal on his weak foot with his off body composition and it facing the other way, and the way, like, dude, I didn't think it went in. I watched it live. I didn't think it went in until I saw people running around. I couldn't believe it. That was a fantastic goal. That was world class. Then he goes and does what he does best and can't kick a ball 12 yards. He's the worst high goal scoring in play penalty taker I have ever seen in my life as a football fan. Di Marco there, and I'm pretty sure if you go and watch the replay, he's like following instructions from Inzaghi, telling him to run somewhere to, like, I don't know what it is, but he's telling him to go somewhere as if to say, my captain's missing this fucking shot. I know it for a fact. So let's hope that the boys are ready. Frattesi ices the cake, bro. And then we beat Genoa and then we beat Bologna. Three tough fixtures where we should have dropped points, man. From Lecce to Atalanta to Genoa to Bologna, we really should have slipped once, but we didn't. And that's the period right there, my brother. Lecce, Atalanta, Genoa, Bologna, that wins the Scudetto for me. It's that chunk of fixtures right there that makes us champs.
Yeah, yeah. And also, yeah, the other teams mentally, like if you were like hoping for us to drop points, which they were doing anyway. That was, yeah, the run that completely killed it off, because it was just like, if they're going to drop points, it's going to be here, but it wasn't. But yeah, the Atalanta game is funny. Yeah, you can see because Martinez missing the pen, so you know that Hakan wasn't playing. So we won that game 4-0 with Aslani starting once again. Again, very impressive.
Yeah, very good.
And then, yeah, Frattesi getting on. Look how many yellow cards. They also shows like how frustrated teams were to play against Inter. Like, look at the amount of yellow cards Atalanta got. Like, they were trying to... I mean, Atalanta always play quite physical and heavy. Like, oh, yeah, I think that's another game we missed, Anto. Atalanta away, the first one.
I must have...
That one was one of my favorite wins of the season. That one, Lautaro scored a worldie to win. I think it was 2-1, I think it was. Again, rain. Barella had a bandaged up because the, what's his name? That
I don't think we missed that one. I think we actually had it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was right here.
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about it.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the one. Yeah.
Was that the game with the bandage?
Yeah. Because Kolasinac, he like stamped on. Remember, he stamped on Barella's head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And only got a yellow. And yeah, that Martinez goal, the 57th minute, that was like a curler from just like edge of the box. That was when like also he started adding goals that he didn't have before. Martinez, like these kind of edge of the box curlers as well. I was like, wow, he's really becoming the complete striker. That was probably my top three wins of the season personally, because like, it was just grit, pure grit, that win, and quality from Hakan and Martinez.
Yeah, you're right. And he did do that a couple of times. I think this goal here in the 30th minute against Cagliari, he does like a small simplistic version of what you're talking about against Atalanta. Brings it back on his right foot after controlling it on like just inside the edge of the box. But this one against Cagliari, he just sort of drags to the near post of the keeper and make it on the floor really slowly.
Yeah.
But I remember this one as well, curling as well. I think this one curls into the back end, the back bottom corner of the far post, right?
Yeah.
Beautiful stuff. Yeah. Added goals to his locker, his Arsenal that we were crying out for.
And that, I remember the Bologna one, Thuram lays him off and he just hits it first time from like 30 yards out.
Great win against Bologna the second time around as well. Bastoni's ball to, I think it was Bastoni's ball to Bisek. From one center back in a back three, from one center back to the other, complete coast-to-coast ball, bro. What the actual hell was going on? We're at this period of time, what are we actually doing, bro? We're pulling stuff out of our ass. We're cruising, bro. We know that we're champions at this point.
Yeah. Goals that come from, not from Lautaro or Thuram. You just know that the whole team's contributing. Yeah, Bisek. Great header as well, like diving header. Really, really good goal. And then, yeah, like now we know, at this point, we know how good Bologna are. So that 1-0 still looks really good on reflection. And then that Genoa one above, that one was like good first half. You see Aslani scoring his first goal, Sanchez penalty. I think it was Sanchez, probably one of his better performances as well, I remember.
Yeah, it was.
And then Vasquez scores like a really good goal from outside of the box. And then it's kind of like fighting for our lives again. So we still have these gritty wins. That's the thing. We're not just... they weren't all just easy wins for us. There were some games where the other teams gave us some, something to think about.
Yeah. Looking back on it now, I probably did celebrate a little early, even for me, because there was still work to be done. There's still 9 points here that you need to at least make sure you don't drop too many to give Milan a sniff in that game. We did a great job of not giving Milan a breath of oxygen leading up to that derby. And once again, we're scoring goals nice and early, the game against Empoli. Goal for Di Marco, and then another goal for Alexis Sanchez. Starting to show up at this point of the season now.
I think that was his best performance this year, that Empoli one. That was man of the match.
Yeah. And this is just confirming what we already know, is that, we're going for this, and it's just a matter of time. Around about that Bologna game is where the chit-chat starts to happen of, are we able to do this in the derby? And we now know that the players were talking about that a couple of months beforehand. I think, I can't remember who said it, but someone crept it into the locker room about 2 months early, like around about February. They said, we could win this. We can actually win this against Milan if we keep this up. And I think it was, people started to really get behind that. We beat Empoli. We beat Udinese. There's a draw to Napoli that hasn't been included here. That's one that's been missed. There's a 1-1 to Napoli above the Empoli game. So if you take into account the Napoli draw and the Cagliari draw, and then we go into the game that we all saw the other day. How are you feeling about the end of the season, bro? It was quite relaxing, wasn't it?
Yeah. The Napoli draw. So that we have to remember the Atletico happened in between. So we had the disappointment of the Atletico game happening between this. So we had that excitement and then also a bit of drop in happiness, I guess. Like, the season was going amazing. And then the Atletico was a little bit of a punch in the, not like a hard punch, but especially to me, because I wasn't really too fussed about it. But it was still a little, brought us down a little bit, back down to earth. Because, we were talking about Inter being, top three team. I still think we are like a top three team in Europe. It's just that, we weren't able to pull through against Atletico. But yeah, we come back. I think we were tired against Napoli. 1-1 was fine. But then Empoli, we did the job. The Udinese game, I missed that one because I was away with work, and just I tuned in right at the like 94th minute and I managed to see the Frattesi winner, which is, yeah, this is also a theme as we go through these slides. The Frattesi goals are like big and heavy, big impact off the bench. He became like our super sub. Every team, I think every title winning team needs a super sub, and I think he was our super sub this year, whether it was a goal or winning a penalty or just general shithousery impact. Frattesi was always there to provide that, and I'm actually glad now that we drew to Cagliari just so we could do that on the last match day.
100%.
What we did to Milan.
Yeah,
made it ever more sweeter.
Wasn't it brilliant, man?
And you could also tell it was kind of like, yeah, after we got out against Atletico, I mean, you see we're still winning, but it's like the performances did drop. I think all the players were just looking forward to that derby, as you said. Like, I think everyone knew that was the goal. Like, we need to win it against Milan, so let's draw one on the way and then win it there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's pretty much all of them, man. That is all of them. Here's some stats, some really nice ones. We've won 81% of our matches this season. We've won our last 7 consecutive away matches. We have not lost in 27 consecutive matches in Serie A. Our last 3 matches have had over 2.5 goals consecutively scored. Is this all together? I'm not too sure. It was off a stats page, but as I dove deeper into the
Serie A.
Yeah, it must be in Serie A. Yeah. Our goals conceded is very low, very, very low. We've kept a clean sheet in 58% of our matches played, most of them at home. And we've been very good in the second half. All around, we've been perfect this season in Serie A, man. There have been some Serie A seasons that we've enjoyed in our life for different reasons, but I think this one, when it's dusted on the last day and we lifted the trophy, I think I'll look at this one as my favorite domestic season of my life.
Yeah, because it's just been complete domination. It's like what Napoli did last year. And I think we've even done it even to a greater degree, because it's just, no arguments. It's just where the, I think, yeah, it's a good argument actually, because that Napoli team did also play really good football, because I was going to say the style of football, but that Spalletti did get them playing some real nice football, that Napoli team. But yeah, I think you're right. The Mancini Inter teams, they play some nice football in Serie A, and but the competition back then, you know, after 2006, it was kind of like Serie A was probably at its weakest at that period. And then Mourinho, of course, the team and the players were probably superior on, like, if you look at it 1v1. But yeah, style of play, or like, I think this team is a bit more enjoyable. And Inzaghi as well, he's not maybe the most charismatic, but as content creators, I think we know, like, he's the most stress-free manager we've had in such a long time. Like, we don't have to really cover anything around Inzaghi. Like, oh, did you hear what he said? Or it's just never, like, you know, business as usual.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it, man. And long may he continue. Hopefully the signature for 2027 comes very, very soon. Just before we wrap up, let's have another flick. What are your favorite? Well, maybe like pick 2 or 3 favorite games and 2 or 3 favorite goals, and then we'll talk about who we think our best players are for the season as well. We'll wrap it up nice and quick.
I mean, obviously, 5-1 versus Milan is the best way to start. The Atalanta one, as I said, to me, I really like that one, because, yeah, Atalanta were really, like, tough that day. Like, they were playing dirty, stamping on us, so... I don't know if it's something about the games in the rain. Maybe it's just PTSD from the Banter era, but I always felt like Inter play really bad when it's raining.
So
when we win, absolutely, I'm always surprised.
The win against Napoli is a really good one as well. The derby win against Juve, the win against Roma. I really like that win.
Verona is number one for me.
Yeah, for Verona, like, just feeling-wise, emotion-wise, Verona is just incredible, that result. I was out of air. I was out of oxygen completely. I think that result is just going to go down as the best result of the season, bar maybe the derby, for completely opposite reasons, man.
Yeah. And then, the Roma away, just kind of that again in the rain. I just love winning in the rain. And then what else? Yeah, I mean, that was an easy one, even though I missed it again, similar to Elliot Rowan, and just that kind of, we're just a little bit like, have you seen like Leverkusen this season? It seems like you watch them, like I'm not even watching them, but I'm like on Fortmob and I see like they're losing 1-0 at 85th minute. I'm like, okay, maybe this is the first loss. And then I check again like 10 minutes later, it's like, oh, it's 2-1. Like this is these guys. Is that inevitability into the season of like, even if you're losing at the 90th minute or drawing, you just know we're just going to do it this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't fear us really when we were against the grain winning by one goal towards the end of the game. I really didn't fear too much this season. For goals of the season, like we said, like DeMarco's one is going to take the headlines because of the distance covered and the angle. But for me, bro, like that second goal against Atalanta, that Lautaro left foot is freakishly hard to do and really, really good. And now that you mentioned that Hakan's strike against Napoli was just hit so ever so sweetly as well. Are they your favorites as well for the season?
Yeah. To me, Hakan, I just love it. It's like one of those goals, like, you know, like those kind of F2 footballers or they're like Jeremy Lin to them type of guys that are doing them YouTube videos like that. It's like you can try that so many times where you won't hit it any sweeter than what Hakan hit it. But of course, I think the DeMarco one is probably gonna win. Did we score a free kick this year? I can't remember if we scored a free kick.
Hakan did not score a free kick. And our second free kick take. No, we don't. No, DeMarco did not score a free kick.
No, he scored one last season, didn't he? Not this season.
We haven't scored a free kick this season.
Oh, no, yeah, that was the first Inzaghi season. DeMarco scored against Sampdoria. Barella scored one last season, but yeah. We should be scoring more with Hakan and DeMarco. But yeah, the Hakan's free kicks. If I speak.
Turam's goal, I think maybe because we've spoken about it so much, subconsciously we didn't focus on it at all in this stream because that really was something else, that goal, bro.
Yeah, that was really, really, yeah. That was like, especially like, yeah, no goalkeeper in the world would stop that. Like Magnon was kind of, I mean, he's had a pretty shitty season, actually, to be fair, to Magnon this year. But, you know, he was coming off some seasons where he was looking almost unbeatable. And Thuram just, like, turned up. It was like, nah, take that, bro. Ian mentioned it. We were only covering Serie A here. But in between, we had that Supercoppa.
We did.
I think the Inter performance against Lazio in the Supercoppa, I think that might be the best, like, total performance that I've seen this Inzaghi Inter have. Like, it was just the football we played that game. It was just amazing. Like, Lazio couldn't get anywhere near us. It was amazing, the football we played in that Supercoppa. But yeah, now the Supercoppas, I don't know what you think, Anthony. It's like, now that we won the Scudetto, now those Supercoppas actually like look like a nice cherry on top rather than like, yeah, like, you
definitely
know, yeah,
definitely, bro. I love our little side trophies. I love our little side pieces to this Scudetto. I love that we continued to win in the background while pursuing the thing that mattered most. And I say it in this, the title, the second star is all that matters. But in order for us to get there, we had to keep internally reassuring ourselves that we were going to get there. And the way that you do that is to have something tangible, have some evidence to look at every day, to feel every day when you wake up, and by winning coppers and super coppers. And let's face it, when you do it in this country, 9 times out of 10, you're going to do it against Milan or you're going to do it against Juve. It's always sweeter. I don't give a fuck what anybody says, man. When we beat them in the semi-final, when we beat them in a final, it is always electric. I don't care what anybody says. I love it. And now that we've gotten this Scudetto, I want the super coppa and I want the coppa just as much next season, just as much next season. And before we wrap up, you know, how do you feel about next season? Are you really confident? Do you think that we're ready to grab this country by the scruff of the neck and maybe fulfill a destiny / dynasty that we were sort of supposed to fulfill following 2020, 2021? It's not impossible. It's going to be very hard.
We know as long as Beppe Marotta's at the helm, he's the dynasty builder of Italian football. He's the one who built the 9 Scudetti in a row dynasty of Juve. So if there is a man to build that, we have the man. And the supporting staff as well to go along with it. So more than Napoli have, because Napoli just, you know, did everything completely in the wrong way too. They could have also built something, but their owner / leadership just ruined that. And then Milan, we know that they overachieved way too much that season. They just weren't ready, or they weren't built to build anything long term. I mean, they are long term in terms of their team is still quite young, so they're still they're finishing second again this year, so they're still that team that's challenging for first. But I think, yeah, and we always used to think, you know, we need to keep all the players. But I think you've said it as well a few times now, like after the Scudetto, you don't really care like who we even sell, as long as you have the faith in Beppe and Co to replace them, whoever leaves. Because I think this season showed it. We've changed, what, it was like 12, 13 new players this season. It was one of the most overhauled inter squads that I remember. I think this is the most amount of transfer we made in a, you know, summer transfer window. And we got better. You know, we should have been, unlike Milan, Napoli, these teams, they didn't make that many changes. We should have been the ones that, you know, have more players to integrate, need more time. But Inzaghi just... He did a perfect coaching job. He took, you know, we didn't look amazing in preseason, but again, people, I think, always look too much into preseason, and we just took this league by storm. So yeah, I think as long as we don't, collapse financially like post Conte, which I still I don't think is going to happen. I think the news is looking good for now. Well, good in general, I guess, for Ian Kerr and. Hashtag sooning out, not looking too good, but we look a bit more stable financially. So I think, yeah, we're in a good position to, I don't know about dynasty, but I think to retain our title next season at least.
Yeah, great. Yeah, look, as long as they're not breaking up the core of the team, which pretty much at this point, they're not going to sell Bastoni or Barella or Lautaro. And I think everybody else falls into the plan of Inzaghi. The ones that are going to have to be seriously considered are the ones that we brought in for a zero fee, and the ones that are going to get a stupid fee. But we can discuss that the next time we link up, bro, because I think it's time for both of us to head off. You to start your Saturday, me to continue my Saturday evening. Unless there was something, sorry, bro, I kind of bombarded you with questions today. Unless there was something that you wanted to ask me today, bro.
No, I've been listening to you. I think you probably run out of things to talk about now.
I have, bro. I'm going to take a break. So after I link up with Gianni at some point over the next day or two, as I said, I'm going back to work next week, and yeah, I'll go back to doing the sporadic videos every couple of days. But it's so good, bro. We deserve this, man. We really deserve this. We've been counting down to this since the day that we bombed it, and we can talk about it now, because that's how you grow a set of balls and bury ghosts this season. That's how you fucking do it, bro. Because if I was a Milan fan, I really would have a problem thinking about my Scudetto win without thinking of what it led to. You know how Italy failed to make the World Cup straight after that Euro, yeah? That Euro, I don't care what anybody says, that Euro is tainted. I love that Euro. It represents a beautiful feeling for me, but I'll always now think of it as, yeah, that was the first step to that national team going back into the pits straight away. We didn't make the World Cup. And now everybody associated with that 19th Scudetti, for Milan, will forever remember what it led to. The embarrassment
they weren't supposed to win it, right? So it was just like, they weren't prepared.
No, they weren't prepared. They weren't. And I'm glad that our boys were able to handle this one maturely and classy. They're handling it a lot classier than I am, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, all right, bro. Thank you so much for coming in today. We appreciate it. This was the 100th episode of the Inter Worldwide podcast. We got to do it with Uncle Sharma in a time where we celebrated the Scudetto. So thank you very much to the new subscribers. Make sure you check out Uncle Sharma's channel as well. And I'll be back very soon. Forza Inter, Campioni d'Italia. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao.